You're listening to WWBC 1510 AM 94.7 FM, the Christian voice of Brevard.
Welcome to WGOD Radio, the radio ministry of Island Community Church. Your host for WGOD Radio is Bible teacher and translator Pastor Paul Esposito, senior pastor of Island Community Church, located in Merritt Island, Florida. And now here for today's program is Pastor Paul.
Welcome back once again to WGOD Radio, All Truth, All the Time. This is your host and speaker for this program. I am Pastor Paul Esposito, the senior pastor here of Island Community Church. Thank God it is Friday. Thanks for joining us here today, guys and gals. Thank you for taking 30 minutes of your Friday to join me as we together study the Word of Almighty God, as we together sit under its authority. We're going to hear the next church now here on the radio. This is WGOD Radio, All Truth, All the Time. This is the radio broadcast brought to you by the excellent people at Island Community Church, where I have the privilege of being the senior pastor, along with my associate pastor, Darren Solana. We greet you here on this Friday. I invite you to church this weekend. We would love to see you. My sermon is entitled The Last Hour. It comes out of 1 John chapter 2, verse 18. Well, that was 2,000 years ago. So what makes me telling you it's the last hour here today, as I'm going to on Sunday, any different than any of the other saints within the past 1,500 years? What makes me saying that any different than anyone else? I've got an answer to that. Certain things have to happen first before the Lord Jesus would return, because every prophecy in the Bible will be fulfilled by hook or by crook. So that's where we're going to be at this Sunday. We would love to see you at 10:30 a.m. Island Community Church, 1000 North Banana River Drive. Okay, let's get into the next letter. This is the Lord Jesus dictating a letter to the spiritual leader at the church of, where are we at? We're at Sardis today. The church has gone down in history as the dead church. To the pastor of this church, he tells them, wake up.
Okay, let's pray. Lord, we exalt you here today. Great is thy faithfulness. Lord, you've been so faithful to us. We magnify you. Magnify your holy name here in your house. Lead us and guide us here now. Open our eyes, ears, and hearts to understand. Lord, again, we pray your word back to you. You called us blessed. If we've got ears to hear, and if we keep the words that are written therein, help us to be doers of your word and not just hearers either. Lord, in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. 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 Okay. The dead church at Sardis, that's where we're looking at here today. Now we're going to travel 30 miles southeast from Thyatira, where we were at last week, home of the corrupt church, to the city of Sardis, to a church that historians remember as the dead church. This has been an excellent series so far, hasn't it? Going through the book of Revelation. Notice, really, that there's been no prophecy yet. Only instructions for the leaders of the seven churches. And these seven represent both seven particular churches as well as seven types of churches that you could find yourself in. Now, seven is the perfect number in the book of Revelation. Remember, understand the symbol and you'll understand the book. It's easy to understand. Understand the symbol and you'll understand the book. Don't become an atheist because there was more than seven churches in Asia in the year 96. That's not a good reason to walk away and give up on God. Seven means something in here. It's the number of perfection. Seven. Now today, the dead church. No one wants to be a member of a dead church. This isn't just them. It's anyone today. You could find yourself not here, pray tell. but somewhere else. Does that sound arrogant? I don't, you know. We work for this here. I'll die 1,000 deaths before this is not true over this church. Sometimes it might hurt to hear these words. I'll cut to the chase and I'll say on here, I was going to say to you about an hour and a half from now when I got to that page, that if your pastor does not have a scalpel, you're in a dead church. Imagine that. You have an operable cancer. And me telling you, oh, everything's fine. You don't need to do anything. Take thine ease. That ain't going to happen here. That ain't going to happen here. No one wants to be a member of a dead church. Unless, of course, you're just going through the motions and you just don't give a rip, either about God or about his kingdom or about righteousness. And you go to church because your mother went there, or because your parents forced you to go, or because you think it's the right thing to do, or because you're just going through the emotions and you are snoring. If you're just going through the motions, then who cares what kind of church that you're in? It doesn't matter. Now, again, like I said, I know that's not the problem here. Because this church's members, you guys care about what comes out of this pulpit here. I got into a lovely discussion with a friend, and I pointed out to her that her mainline beloved Christian denomination, that would be the PCUSA, Presbyterian Church USA, was firing pastors because they still held to the belief that marriage was between a man and a woman. They're firing their pastors there. And her mainline beloved Christian denomination washed their hands of the nation of Israel and decided to financially support the Palestinians with their ongoing disputes with Israel. Her mainline denomination sold all of their stocks in predominantly Jewish companies like Motorola and Caterpillar. Now, to that I would say, what are you doing with stocks anyway? You're a church. Why don't you try investing your money into the kingdom instead of the stock market? Not that I'm against investing, but for the church shouldn't have their money there. That's going to fall like a house of cards. Invest in the kingdom. Invest in the kingdom. I digress. Now, when confronted with the evidence, my friend decided it was easier to hate me, Darren. It was easier to hate me than to remove their membership from a dead church. Now, that's her choice. Willingly stay in a dead church because they have a good, band? Or a good worship team? Or a good ladies group? Or a good youth group? Or go somewhere where the Holy Spirit is moving each and every week. And that is evident by changed lives in the church. How many people have gotten healed in this church? I can't even count the number. How many people? Because you're in a, might not be a million people here. Thank God there's not. But you're in a church that's thriving. We please God with what we do, at least we set out to. We sit under his word. We do what he says. We repent of sin. We make things right before we walk out these doors. We're not perfect. But our Jesus didn't die in vain, did he? So what would you do if you find yourself in a dead church? Now let's sneak into this pastor's office. Remember, Angel, in all of my humble opinion, though I am a Bible translator, Angel is not the best translation here. The Greek word angelos means... Now, Bob's got my Bible back there in the back row. The word means messenger, the spiritual leader of the church. I think he's talking to the pastors. He's not dictating a letter for you to take it to someone that you cannot see, an angel. It's the spiritual leader there, the pastor. So we're sneaking into this pastor's office. We're traveling to Sardis. Let's see how this church went down in history as the dead church. Now, we're in Revelation. We're in chapter 3, verse 1. Now, to the messenger of the church in Sardis, write, These things says he who has the seven spirits of God and the seven stars. I know your works, that you have a name that you are alive, but you are dead. Notice it's not me that calls the church dead. The Son of God calls the church dead. Once again, he starts the letter with a description of himself, like he has all the others. Thus says he who has the seven spirits of God and the seven stars. Meaning, this is Almighty God the Son speaking here, not E.F. Hutton. When Jesus speaks, everyone listens. We just sang the song. When he speaks, even the birds stop singing because of his voice. Thus says the Son of God. And when it says he has the seven spirits, let's say he gives the Holy Spirit. And that last one up here, 2 Corinthians 3:17, it says, for the Lord is the Spirit. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom or liberty. Thus says the one who personally sent the Holy Spirit here to earth to begin his ministry on the day of Pentecost. Thus says the one who holds the pastors in his very hands. Remember, the seven stars are the pastors, or the angels, the pastors, messengers of the seven churches. Thus says the Son of God. Now remember, seven is the number of perfection. Now, maybe he's referring to the next one down there. Isaiah chapter 11, verses 1 and 2. Let me read that to you. You can count on your hands, or if you got flip-flops, use your feet. There shall come a rod, capital R, from the stem of Jesse, that's David's father, and a branch, capital B, shall grow out of his roots. Now, the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge, and of the fear of the Lord. Well, what do you know? Seven. Represents completeness and perfection. There's probably a million more things you can use, more adjectives you want to use to describe him. Seven, understand the symbol and you'll understand the book. Seven. It's a perfect number. Everything, now, it helps to understand the book when we understand the other 65 books as well in the Bible. Now, someone who has studied Isaiah their whole life, you see, off goes the light bulb, and now you get it. Now you get it in the last book at the very end, just like seeing the tree of life. You haven't seen it since Genesis chapter 2. And now, 65 books later, on goes the light bulb. There it is again. Haven't seen it since they threw Adam and Eve, and there was someone there with a flaming sword keeping everyone away. Here it is again at the end. So it helps to understand the other books, but that's what we do. We look at all the books here. So, thus says he who has, maybe we could call it the sevenfold Spirit of God. All right, now we see that the members of the dead church are deceived. If you are a member in a dead church and you stay there and you don't think something's wrong, you're deceived. You've been deceived. Now, thank God for this letter here for those. I think I know everybody here. I'm going to go out on a limb and say, you can write a big NA here. This doesn't apply to you, but someone else that's in a dead church. Now, maybe you might be dead. We'll get to that coming up. But the church isn't. Guarantee you that. Members of the dead church are deceived. They think they're okay, but they're not. They think they are alive, but they are not. Again, verse 1. These things saith he that has the seven spirits of God and the seven stars. I know thy works, that thou hast a name, that thou livest and art dead. You see, he said that they have a name. They have a name that they are alive. That is, a name around town. They had a name around town that they were alive. In other words, the church at Sardis had a killer reputation among town that they were a great church. Everyone around town thought that they were a great church. They had a name that they were alive. But Jesus said, thou art dead. You're dead in the water, dead. Regardless of what they say about you in town, as far as he is concerned, you're dead. I can see it now. Come to the first church of the local heretic, where our worship is alive. You can see that on Facebook. Or plastered in restaurants on the roof. The first church of the local heretic, where we don't care how you live. Why should we care? Jesus already died for your sin. Why should we care how you live? So they have a name that they lived. You can hear it again, right? We read your palms. We tell you what you want to hear. Never fear. We don't talk about sin here. Duane, I think I sound like Dr. Smith. Never fear. There's no sin here. I could fill this church in a New York minute with babble like that. You'll feel the same here at Sardis. Let's call them Sardis Christian Fellowship. You'll feel the same here at Sardis Christian Fellowship as you do when you go to Carrabba's or Long Doggers or the Bowling Alley. You see, the reputation of this church all over town is great. And the people there thought everything was okay. Maybe because their attendance was way up. Maybe because they built a new wing for the children. We got all this money. Everything's got to be okay, right? You see, they're deceived. You think it's okay. But he says, no, you're not okay. You're forgetting the important things. Success is not based on how much money you have. It's based on a changed life. Looking more like him this year than you did last 1st of October. Now, while up in heaven, Jesus writes a letter to this pastor. Thou hast a name that thou livest and art dead. And he prefaced this statement with, I know your works, but in this case, not in a good way. Every other time he said that to the other churches, he was complimenting them for doing it right, not with these guys. He's not saying, I know your works in a good way. He's turning around what the pastor and the people thought was a positive, and he's turning it into a stinging rebuke. I know your works. As I look at this church, it seems to me they've got no commendation at all from the Son of God. Only a warning and correction. They got warning and correction. Verse 2 out of the New American Standard. The Lord Jesus says, wake up and strengthen the things that remain, which were about to die. For I have not found your deeds completed in the sight of my God. This is the word of Christ to the dead church today. Wake up, he says. You're in a dead church. Better, worse yet, you're the pastor of a dead church. He's telling them, wake up, pastor. Your church is dead. You are dead. You've lost it. You're tickling people's ears. Wake up. Wake up. You guys personally from Sardis Christian Fellowship are sleepwalking through your faith. And that's not good enough. Matter of fact, that kind of faith is no faith at all. It's dead because you're dead. D-E-A-D, dead. Wake up. Wake up or else, he says. Figure out what you're doing right and build on it. What are you doing right? Where are you lacking? Why are you dead? Again, I'll say it. If your pastor does not have a scalpel in his professional bag, then you are dead. I've heard Charles Stanley say that God has a bag as well. In God's bag, a saw. Ouch, right? Why does he always got to use a saw on me? Also in God's bag is a chisel. and some sandpaper for all of you. Just a little sandpaper, right? Little brush here, with some nice fine sandpaper. Never hurt anyone. With me, he's got to use a saw. With you, sandpaper. Let's fix these problems here today. Now, Jesus explains, verse 3. He says, all right, now he's going to give them the remedy here. He says, remember, so remember what you have received and heard, and keep it and repent. Again, I'm reading out of the New American Standard. Might read it a little different. He says, therefore, if you do not wake up, I will come like a thief, and you will not know at what hour I will come to you. So, what's the remedy for a dead church? First off, notice, praise God, there is a remedy if you find yourself in a dead church, or if you are dead. You can fix that today. There's a remedy for it. Now, I've got a list of 5. Number 1, the first remedy if you are dead or find yourself in a dead church, number 1 is wake up. Wake up. Wake up and smell the coffee. Time is short. God's hourglass is running out of sand. Wake up. Look around. Now our salvation is nearer than when we first believed, Paul wrote. It's time to stop playing church. Even if it's just you, Pastor, even if it's just you, and you wake up and scare all the believers away by your message, or with your scalpel, you scare everyone away. Wake up, even if it's just you, and everyone leaves. Just wake up. God will send in other people. He'll send in someone else if you don't like his scalpel, or if your pastor's got a little unction and wakes up and realizes that the Lord's return is near. He tries to motivate you guys. Wake up. Wake up. Do what he says, and you'll be all right. Look around you. The government now is trying to brand you in order to buy or sell. Are you dead or are you alive? The government has 80,000 new armed Internal Revenue Service agents. Are you dead? Art thou dead? Or art thou alive? Just wait until preaching the word of God is declared to be hate speech, like it is already in Canada. Where Danny works now, and Danny's the manager, I've said it before probably 100 times, where I was for 20 years, when he puts programs into the computer, there's different folders for Canada. Because you're not allowed to talk about sin to the radio program that airs in Canada. They have to hire a team of editors to edit out anything that offends you before he puts it in the folder. Michael Youssef leading the way, that had to edit out anything that tries to wake people up and edit it out, because we don't want to offend anyone. We don't want to let you know that you're a sinner in Canada. You want to be like the emperor's new clothes. Walk around naked and do nothing and think that you look fine. See, that's what happened with these guys in this dead church. They thought they were fine. Everything's fine. Look at all the money we got in the bank account. Everything's fine. Jesus says, no, it's not. You're dead. So wake up. Wake up. The dead church is oblivious to the age that we live in and to the signs of the times. See, we're perilously close to the return of the Lord, and you're more concerned with selling your stock in Jewish companies than you are in smelling the coffee out here. What's the remedy for a dead church? Number 2, remember. Remember, he says in verse 3, remember how it used to be. Back in the Old Testament, God instructed the Jews to erect some stones for a remembrance. So go back to where your stones of remembrance are. Remember back to where and when God moved mightily in your life. Remember. And go and get that back. Get that back. Remember when you were fervent in spirit and offended everyone in your family and you took no prisoners? Remember.
We're out of time here for today. That's going to wrap up our program.
We would love to see you at church this weekend, Island Community Church. If you guys and gals are new to the area, or if you're looking for a new church home for whatever reason, and if you listen to this radio show, you know what to expect. I invite you to attend one of our services. We're going to have an excellent service here this weekend. We're going to look at a lot of Bible prophecy. We're going to look at things which have taken place, things which have to. We're going to look at the state of the union of where we're at on God's prophetic time clock when John says it is the last hour. So we would love to see you Sunday morning. Monday, we'll wrap up this sermon here, this dead church at Sardis, whom the Lord told, "Wake up, people. Smell the coffee. My return is near. Wake up." Have a wonderful weekend, and we'll see you back soon. Maybe we'll see you on Sunday. We'll be back on the air here on Monday. Until then, you're listening to WGOD Radio, all truth, all the time.
You have been listening to WGOD Radio, the radio ministry of Island Community Church. You are cordially invited to attend one of our services at Island. We meet Wednesday evening at 6 p.m. for Bible study, and Sunday morning service starts at 10:30. Island Community Church is located at 1000 North Banana River Drive in Merritt Island. The church's email is islandcc1000@gmail.com. Join us again next time for WGOD Radio, all truth, all the time. Thank you.